Atame Deva Samoham. Apakrashtom Tvam Arhasi. Yovagrahoham Mameti. Yetasmin Yojitas Tvaya. Atame Deva Samoham. Apakrashtom Tvam Arhasi. Yovagrahoham Mameti. Etasmin Yojitas Tvaya. Mataji's. Delusion, apakrashtom, to dispel, tvam, you, arhasi, be pleased, ya, which, avagraha, misconception, aham, I, mama, mine, iti, thus, iti, thus, etasmin, in this, yojita, engaged, twaya, by you. Translation. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The false ego of identifying one's body as oneself and of claiming things possessed in relationship with this body is called maya. In Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, the Lord says, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and from me come everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. Does this mean that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in his devotional service and another in sense gratification? If that were true, it would be an incongruity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But that is not the actual fact. As soon as the living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship to the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he is captured by Maya. This capture by Maya is the consciousness of false identification with the body and attachment for the possessions of the body. These are the activities of Maya. And since Maya is also an agent of the Lord, it is indirectly the action of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility, not directly, but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly, it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. Devahuti therefore said, "My engagement in sense gratification was also due to you. Now kindly get me free from this entanglement." By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So, when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Krishna says, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, "First of all, surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activities." Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. In this material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful. For example, one sometimes gives something in charity to a needy person with a view to getting back the money four times increased. Giving with the purpose of gaining something is called charity in the mode of passion. Everything done here is done in the modes of material nature, and therefore all activities but service to the Lord are sinful. Because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment, and we think, "I am this body. I think of the body as myself, and of bodily possessions as mine." Devahuti requested Lord Kapila to free her from that entanglement of false identification and false possession. Let me just read the verse again. Atame deva samoham aprakrashtam tum arhasi yo vagrahoham mameti yetas min yojitas twaya. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your Maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschacade Shatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Panchakalpa Charupyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so Mother Devahuti is continuing her prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila. And here she is praying to the Lord that if it pleases you, if it pleases you, please free me from my great delusion. The great delusion, of course, in this material world, there's so many delusions. In this material world, there's so many delusions. But the classic delusion, the great delusion, which sort of is the foundation for all the others, is to think I am this body, and that everything in relation to this body is mine, like my family, my country, my relatives and friends, and my nature, what I am. This is all Maya. Maya means that which is not. It is not true. It is just not true. But in material life, everyone is fully absorbed in these conceptions. And they're just totally underpinning everything and motivating everything. And they're just, yeah, the people become totally possessed by this illusion. And illusion is one thing. Delusion is like a worse form. Illusion and delusion are related. But delusion generally includes like some idea of some madness. It's not just a mistake. It's not just a mistake, some error that, oh, I thought this was this, but it wasn't. It means just, it's sort of like a wild condition of abject foolishness. So, in the first paragraph of the purport, Srila Prabhupada introduces, well, comments on and clarifies actually, one important thing which Devahuti has said in the verse. Of course, she said, please dispel my great delusion, this sort of bizarre state of mind I'm in. But then she clarifies it, due to my feelings of false ego, on that basis, I've been engaged by your Maya. And therefore, in my engagement, as you have engaged me in by your Maya, I've identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. So, Srila Prabhupada refers to and partially quotes the translation of Bhagavad Gita 15:15. The Lord says, I'm sitting in everyone's heart, and from me come everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. Yes, Savasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Mata Smritir Gyanam Apanam Cha. Yes, that's a famous verse. The Lord's in everyone's heart, and it is from him that everyone's remembrance, forgetfulness, their understandings, it's from him that all these things have come. And therefore, as Prabhupada points out, Devahuti has noted that her delusion, her false identification with the body and attachment in for possessions in relation to the body, she's noted that they're also under the direction of the Lord. So, is it his fault after all? After all, you know, I'm just a good person, but it's this God person has just mismanaged things in my life, my capabilities. Somehow I just haven't been, he hasn't given me the capabilities he should have given me. As a result, my life is a bit of a mess, or even a lot of a mess, and it's his fault. This is one of the great characteristics of the conditioned souls. It's called externalizing the blame. Externalizing the blame. It's never my fault. It's always, you know, someone external, and ultimately the Supreme Lord. This is a favorite idea. You know, one form I came across actually a few years ago now, in terms of counseling, they say that I judge myself according to my intentions, but I judge others according to their actions. And of course, it's much easier to have nice intentions than it is to do nice activities. Yeah, that's a whole different thing. When you come from just the idea to the execution of the idea, sure. Many, many things can go wrong in the execution of the idea. Many mistakes may happen. So they say like this, I judge myself according to my intentions, but I judge others according to their actions and not according to their intentions. And if they say that, oh, but, you know, you did this and that and you shouldn't have done, then a person can try to say, well, you know, I didn't intend to. But if you're being judged on your actions, then your intentions don't really count. But if you're not being judged by your actions, just on by your intentions, well, then it's pretty easy. You can always say, you know, I had the best of intentions, and even though I did some bad things, don't worry about that. Just take me on the basis of my intentions. Anyway. So the thing is this, and Devahuti has already answered the question. This question of who to blame, who is to blame, whose fault is it that we're caught up entangled in the material world? And she says, due to my feeling of false ego, I've been engaged by your Maya. It's not just like, as we mentioned a little while ago, some couple of weeks maybe ago, something like that, that in this material world, there are no innocent victims. They're just people who've done things in the past for which they're due to get reactions, and now they're getting the reaction. There are not really innocent victims in this world. There's just us, our activities, and the reactions to our activities all being managed by the arrangement of the Lord. So, yes, so it's not that the Lord then, as Prabhupada points out, is discriminating by giving someone nice opportunity in life and another person problematic situations, or actually, as Prabhupada says here, it's not that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in his devotional service and another in sense gratification. If that were true, it would be an incongruity, some sort of, you know, irreconcilable clash, internal clash in the nature of the Lord, in the personality of the Lord. Favoritism, nepotism. Nepotism is immensely popular these days. Although it is decried, it is criticized for good reason, but still it is going on full steam ahead. It really is. People are being favored if they have some special connection with whoever is the one who is making the arrangements. Yes. And therefore you find in some governments, just on the material level, that in the government you've got the president or whatever, the head of state, the big chief, and in various important posts in the government structure, you've got various of his relatives. And if that point is raised, then he'll try to say, oh, but they are the most qualified. But their qualification is that they're his relatives. This is life in the material world. That is an incongruity. But the Lord is not subjected to incongruities of any sort. The Lord does everything right. The Lord does everything right. Therefore, there are no innocent victims on the material level. Yes. And as David Hutu says, that I was placed, I've been engaged by your Maya. I've been put in the position of identifying with the body and consequent bodily relations by you, at least directly or indirectly, more indirectly by Maya Devi and the material energy, but it's all happening due to my feeling of false ego. That's where it comes from. False ego, the root of which is to think I am the enjoyer. I am the enjoyer, at least I can be, I should be, and if I try my best, I will be the enjoyer. But we're not. We are the servants. And any attempt to take the position of enjoyer will ultimately be met with failure, even if you get away with it for a while. You know, George Harrison, the famous musician and devotee. You know, let's just say devotee, because it's true. He and his three friends were so incredibly successful. It's just completely amazing, actually. So incredibly successful. And the money was flowing in, and the adulation, the popularity, was just completely bizarre, actually. And, you know, what a position. So many people would like to be in a position like that. But in the end, he said that it was so frustrating that they just decided, we're not going to do this any longer, and they stopped. Can't do it, don't want to do it. Yes, because any position in this material world, maybe you'll be successful for a while, but after a while, sure, the whole thing falls apart. And in many cases, before you die, or before the body dies, and if nothing else, then everything falls apart when the body dies. And that's it. So what is that? What is that? Then Srila Prabhupada, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada makes interesting point and very important point, which is not understood generally outside of Krishna consciousness, that that activities for material enjoyment, sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. That is a very nice definition of what are sinful activities. You know, there's in religion in general, there's a whole field of study of ethics. What is good and what is bad activity? And you know, in so many cases, if not practically all, they think that something is good if it doesn't, you know, if it's nice, got to be nice, but if it doesn't hurt anyone, any other person. Unfortunately, to find an activity which is nice and doesn't hurt anyone is extremely difficult. Actually, it's impossible. It's not possible. If I remember correctly, in our Bhagavad Gita seminar, we're going to discuss about action and inaction and different varieties of sort of subdivisions of those. And one point in this regard is that if you want to define in this world what is a good action and what is a bad action, you have to use this guideline. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. That at least is the essence. It doesn't mean that if you decide to become a criminal and rob people, etc., while remembering the Lord, that is necessarily a good activity. But any activity by any standard which is performed in forgetfulness of the Lord or our relationship with Him is by definition sinful activity, bad activity. Prabhupada in the purport gives an interesting example. Someone gives charity. It's generally a good activity. It's seen like that. But now this person gives charity to someone with the idea that by doing this, I will get benefit. Therefore, Prabhupada said it's charity in the mode of passion. It's not even in the mode of goodness. What to speak of Krishna conscious. So therefore it's sinful. Yes, in this material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful if they're not performed for the pleasure of the Lord, and also must be there that according to the rules and regulations as given by the Lord and His great devotees. Yeah. That's pious activity, which is performed according to the directions of the Lord and the statements of the great devotees, the directions of the great devotees. Otherwise, any activity independent of the Lord and his instructions, even if it's the most pious activity imaginable, is sinful, actually. Sinful meaning through it you will become more entangled in this world. And when you become more entangled, you have to take the reactions which come with those, your entanglements. Yes, it's one thing having to suffer the reactions of bad activities like crime and abuse and all that, which you have caused. That's one thing. But it's another thing having to stay in the material world longer because you've still got pious reactions that you have to take. Until they're burnt up, which can only be done through Krishna consciousness, and in the process of burning them up, you have become focused nicely on the Lord. Until you reach that point, you have to stay, even if it's for being the most nice and wonderful and generous and soft-hearted, etc., person who's just not a devotee. Yeah. You have to stay in this material world. And when you stay in the material world, even you're getting your good reactions, so you're getting money and fame and all these things. But the great danger is, and it usually happens, that while you're staying on, getting all these nice things coming your way, the great tendency is you will misuse at least some of that. And then you'll have further reactions, bad reactions from that. We mentioned the other day King Nrig. He was so nice. He was so charitable to the Brahmins. But one day he made one mistake. It was the one mistake of his life. Of his life. The one mistake. He gave a cow that he had already given to one Brahmin, but somehow it strayed back into his place. He gave it to another Brahmin, and the first Brahmin would not accept a replacement. He wanted his cow back. But the second Brahmin, you know what they say, possession is 9/10 of the law. He said, "It's my, she's mine, I've got her, you know, you're not going to get her." So it was the one, and it wasn't, you know, like some typically bad activity. It was an innocent mistake, you could say, at least on the surface. But he had to take birth again, just for that one thing. Otherwise, he was off back to Godhead. So this, we use the word entanglement, and Prabhupada uses the word in the purport, the word entanglement, and it's really an entanglement. It's far more complex and binding than maybe even devotees are often really aware. But it's really like that. And yes, it's really like that. So therefore, we have to really strive to become free of the feeling of false ego and the ideas that come from it of how we could enjoy life in this world in bodily terms. If I was a something material, then I'd be happy. So, like this. So Devahuti is praying to the Lord, and we must follow in her footsteps. You please dispel my great delusion. Be pleased. If it pleases you, you please dispel my illusion. I mean, there are many other things we could say, but those are some interesting points. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.